Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday. Our worship leader last Sunday was our own Alan Martinson, and bringing the morning message was guest pastor Reverend Ken Mathis. We also want you to know you'd be more than welcome to come to church in person this morning as we meet at 10:30 at our sanctuary in 101 North Oak. Sunday School North starts at 9:30. You're more than welcome. We'd be glad to see you. Leading our worship this Sunday is our own Ross Robertson, as we are still in this transition time without a permanent pastor. You're also invited to join us for Lenten services during this Lenten season on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in our sanctuary. Those services are led by Reverend Lena Eddy. Again, thank you for listening.
Time for worship has come. Let us gather beneath the cross of Christ. Let us listen for his word.
The time of worship has come. May God's Spirit prepare our hearts that we may prove to be obedient and loving disciples of Jesus Christ.
Let us worship together in the name of the God who creates, redeems, and keeps us forever.
Amen.
First hymn is hymn number 19, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Join me in the prayer of the day. Holy God, be near us as we worship. Guide us through these Lenten days, that our lives may be reformed and renewed in the image of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
Senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick and accompanied by Ellen Ash, sings The Heart of Worship.
Thank you.
Reading of the morning scriptures, Brother Ken Mathis presents his sermon entitled F-A-I-T-H.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Now I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preached to you the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as the first importance of what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This ends our scripture reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the Lord's house. Good to be here early, an hour early. I like daylight savings time. I hate it in the fall. I like it in the spring. I wish we'd have it all the time. Today, there's an outline of what I'm going to say today back, if you want to pick one up. And also, there's little blue booklets. These are witnessing booklets. They're not Baptist or UCC. They're just Eternal Life booklets. So I'd encourage you to take one of those. Wherever you go, I witnessed to a man the other day at McDonald's. You can do that. And wherever you go, you can use this stuff. David Jeremiah is a pastor in Southern California in San Diego, and he wrote a book. It's called The Promise of Heaven. And I read it. It's really, really good. You ought to read it. But when he talked about the book, he said, it's not that I want people to understand more about heaven. I want people to go there. You see, if you don't give, and it's all we've sung about this morning, it's all about Jesus. And if you don't have him in your heart, you're not going to go there. And that's what I want to talk about today. How can we be sure that we have come to know God? Well, it seems there are many ways to get to heaven. Some people say if you believe in God, you're on your way to heaven. 90% of the people in America say that they believe in God. But it's more than that. Some people say, well, I'm being religious. I go to church every Sunday. It's more than that. Some people say that I help people out. I do my part. It's not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you to heaven. It just won't. What's the Bible say? The Bible says in 1 John 2:3-6, we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 3, when we obey God, we are sure we know him. Verse 5, We truly love God when we obey Him. Verse 6. If we say we are His, we must follow the example of Jesus Christ. If we know God, we're going to love others. We're going to hate the world. We're going to accept Christ as the Messiah. This is what it says in John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His command. Two things we're to do in this life to prepare for life to come is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, give our life to Him, and then love one another. Now, he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Twice in the New Testament, it says that the way that you can know you're going to heaven, the down payment, is the Spirit of God living in your heart. You know, if you're a Christian, you got the Spirit of God living in your heart. Some people say, well, he said, you know, I've been a Christian my whole life. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. My mom and dad went to church. They decided when they got married that they were going to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And we did. Our four kids was there every Wednesday night. We were the only kids there. But that didn't get me to heaven. It's got to be something more than that. What do you understand it takes to get to heaven? Well, I'm going to give it to you today, and the reason I want to give these outlines is so that you can take those home and look at them more extensively after today. I want to give it to you on my hand, F-A-I-T-H. Did I spell that right? F-A-I-T-H. F stands for forgiveness. We cannot get to heaven without God's forgiveness. We cannot. We're all sinners and need a Savior. If people don't realize they need a Savior, they'll never look for Him. 1958, I was 7 years old. I went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. But somehow God began to deal with my heart. I knew about this Jesus. I heard about Him every Sunday, but I didn't have Him in my heart. And so I asked about 30 questions to the preacher one Sunday afternoon, and he finally said, Kenny, don't you say that, but that's what they used to call me. If you want Jesus in your heart, next Sunday you come forward at the invitation time. Now, I could have done it right there. I don't know why he didn't let me do it right then. But anyway, next Sunday, it was a small church in this. It was about the size of Salem United, where I was at this morning. And I was sitting on the back row, and they had an extra verse for me. Now, I wanted to go. I was ready to go for a whole week, but they had an extra verse because it's scary. Because when you need to make that first step is yours. The rest of them God's going to help you with, no matter how big the church is. But that day made a difference in my life. I've not been the same since. You know, my wife and I will be married 50 years in May. And I remember when the day we got married. It was a joyful day. We had a great time. But just the same, I remember, like yesterday, the day that I got saved. Little church, not very big. And I went to come down on the left side, and the preacher made me kneel. That don't hurt you any. He made me kneel, and I prayed that prayer to give my life to Christ. Now, I don't know what I prayed that day other than I know I wanted to give my life to Jesus, and that's what he had me to pray. But you know, I went the next 2 weeks all over school telling everybody, I'm a Christian. They said, what's that? And I said, I don't know. I just know I'm a Christian. When you give your life to Christ, it makes a difference in your life. We cannot have eternal life or heaven without God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is not based on what we have done, how good we are, how sincere we are. Forgiveness is based on the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins when He died on the cross. Jesus said, I came for one reason, to die on the cross, to cover your sins. The greatest miracle of all time was a miracle when Jesus spread out His arms, He died on the cross, and His blood covers our sin. We've got to have forgiveness. It is by His blood and His blood alone that we may be forgiven. In Ephesians 1:7 it says, in Him, meaning Jesus, we have redemption through His blood for forgiveness of sin. The only way we're going to get to heaven is we need to say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. and I need a Savior, and I want Jesus to come into my life. Second one, the A stands for available. Forgiveness is available for all, for everybody. Everybody who's ever lived. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever," all. It's not just for a few people going to heaven and the rest of them going to hell. It ain't that at all. It's the fact that salvation is for everyone. We make a decision whether we're going to go to heaven or hell when we put our trust in Jesus, but it's available for all. God's love is available for every person who's ever lived. Everyone has the opportunity to accept Christ's forgiveness. God wants all people to come to repentance. It says, I think in 1 Peter, he says, why have you haven't come and brought judgment upon the world? And he says, because I'm patiently waiting, because there's more people that's going to give their life to Jesus Christ. We can never convince somebody they need forgiveness. God does that. He's the one that speaks to our heart. It could very well be here today that you've never, ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And you know if you have, and you know if you haven't, then His Spirit's probably working with you even this moment. Not everyone who says the right words is going to heaven. Not everybody who believes in the existence of God, 90% of Americans, they're not all going to heaven. It says in Matthew 7:21, "Not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God." Are you a Christian? Yeah, I've been a Christian my whole life. No, you haven't. You think you're born into Christianity? You think you're born to be saved? That's not true. There's got to be a moment in your life that you realize you need Jesus Christ and you ask Him to come into your life. God's love, forgiveness is available, but it's not automatic. You don't just automatically start coming to church and you're automatically saved. That's not what happens. Not happen that way. It's not universal. Not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody says the right words. Matthew 7:14 says, "Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few find it." Why is it so few find it? It's because they're looking in the wrong place. I tell you something, every time I preach, I want to talk about Jesus Christ, my Savior, the Messiah. Because He's the one that really counts. God has made forgiveness available at a great cost, the death of His Son on the cross. Not everybody who chooses to accept His gift of eternal life. Why is it not automatically? Why is it not available automatically? Well, that comes from the I. I means F is forgiveness. We all need it. A means it's available to everybody, not automatic. I means it's impossible for God to allow sin into heaven. Sin's not going to get to heaven. God is a loving God, John 3:16, but also He's a just God. A holy, just God cannot allow sin into heaven. God's judgment against sin. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell's not prepared for us. It was not prepared for a single human being upon the earth. It was prepared for the devil who wanted to be equal with God and his one-third of the angels who decided to go with him. That's who hell's prepared for. But people go to hell. My grandfather, my dad's mom and dad never went to church. I think grandma probably was a Christian. Grandpa wasn't. 6 months before he died, my dad tried to witness to him. And he said, you know, he said, I wish I could. Now the Bible says the Spirit doesn't always deal with man. And so it could very, very be possible grandpa went to hell because he never... He waited too long to give his life to Jesus Christ. The problem is man is sinful. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Two reasons it's possible for us to go to heaven on our own. Because of who God is. He's perfect. He cannot allow sin in His presence. Because of who we are. We're sinners. Sin is a part of our rebellion against sin. And it separates us from God. Adam and Eve messed up. And if everybody was perfect, up to you and I, probably one of us would have done it. But we have we're born into a sinful nature. Say it costs $20 to get into to the movies. Probably more than that nowadays, $30, $40. And one person got $19.90. The other person got $2. Neither one's getting in because it costs $20 to get into the movie. The question is this, but how can a sinful person enter into heaven where God does not allow sin? Well, that's the T. We all need forgiveness. It's available for everybody, but not automatic. God does not allow sin in heaven. There's got to be a turning. T means turn. Need to turn from something and turn to someone. If you're driving down the road and somebody tells you to turn, what do they want you to do? They want you to go in one direction. You're going north of town, they want you to turn and go south of town. Turn means to repent. We must turn away from something, sin and self. The Bible says, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. We need to turn from that. Perish means going to hell. In Luke 13:3, but unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. Now it says in John 3:16, whoever trusts in Jesus will not perish. We'll go to heaven because of that. Turn away from a sin. Going in a new direction, 100 to 180 turn. Repent means the time of refreshing. We're not only turning away from something, but we're turning to something. The idle mind is devil's workshop. Doesn't mean get rid of something, not put anything in there. We need to put something in, Jesus Christ, in our heart. We must turn to somebody, Jesus Christ. A scripture that was read says, this is the gospel. What's the gospel about? Jesus died and was buried, and he rose again that we could have eternal life through him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Confessing and repentance is action words. We don't just think about it, we do it. I don't know whether my grandpa ever thought about it or not, but he sure didn't get it done. And it's so sad. It's so sad. Repentance of sin and trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord will get us to heaven. Nothing else will. I remember shaking Billy Graham's hand back in 1974, I think it was. We went to the Billy Graham Crusade. And they had the school of evangelism, and we all went. I was a seminary at the time, and I remember shaking Billy Graham's hand. And I didn't want to worship that hand for 2 or 3 days because the Spirit of God was on that man. Great man of God. But you know, he's nothing like Jesus Christ. I can't believe in Billy Graham get me to heaven. No way. It's got to be Jesus Christ. And so the H stands for heaven. We need forgiveness. It's available for everybody, but not automatic. God's not going to allow sin into heaven. We got to turn from our sin, turn to God through Jesus Christ. Then you get to heaven. Then you're on the way to heaven. My granddaughter asked me, she said, Papa, could you live to be 97? I said, sure. I said, would you take care of me the last 10 years? She goes, yeah, I will. Would you change my diapers? No. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I do know when I take my last breath, I'm going to be in heaven because I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. To be in the presence of God in the most high, joyful, fulfilling experience you can ever have. It's our hope. We even have a hope of abundant life. It says in John 10:10, you might have life and you might have life abundantly. Abundant means quality of life, more than adequate. Well supplied, abounding. Not just taste of hereafter, it's the taste here. You know, heaven is going to be greater than you could ever imagine. It's going to be more fantastic than we could ever think about. But we can have an abundant life while we're here upon earth. It's our hope for eternity. In John 14:3, it says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to where I am, there you may be also. Have you thought about the fact that right now, Jesus is preparing a place for you and I if we've given our life to Jesus Christ? How can a person have God's forgiveness in heaven and eternal life in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? It's by faith. Let me give you another way of saying it. Forsaking all other, I trust Him. I'm not going to get into heaven any quicker than you will just because I was a preacher. No, it's because what happened in 1958 that I give my life to Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get me to heaven. I think I'm going to stand before the Lord after I die. I'm going to stand before the Lord, and Jesus is going to be standing there, and God's going to say, "Why should I let you in my heaven?" And Jesus is going to say, "I remember back in 1958 in Luray, Missouri, that boy said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ." You let him in, won't you, God? And he will. One of the verses I use the most is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Let me tell you when you get saved. When your mouth says what your heart wants and your ears hear it. That's why when we have children come forward to be saved, or anywhere they are, they want to be saved, I tell them, I want you to say it out loud. I want you to say it out loud. And then you can look back, no matter how long you live, you can look back and say, I remember that day that I really meant it. I prayed from my heart with my mouth and my ears heard it. Could it be? Could it be there's people here today who've never done that? I want you to do it. I want to see you in heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. And then I'll tell you something, what I've said today is what I mean today is what the only way you're going to get to heaven is by some time, some place, you pray the prayer to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've got to be Lord first. Then He'll be your Savior. Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Lord, we can come to this place, to your house to worship. Thank you, Lord, we can come and think about you. I pray that there's somebody here today that has not given their life to Jesus Christ. They can do it right now. They can pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I believe you are Christ the Messiah and that you died on the cross and resurrected, I could have eternal life through you. So right now, I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've said that today, you come talk to me afterwards. I'll rejoice with you because if you really prayed that prayer and you meant it, you're on your way to heaven. You have eternal life. I can't talk about anything else more than about Jesus. God bless you.